Welcome, listeners, to the Dr. D Show today. I am excited to have you with us. As usual, the show is psychoeducational. In essence, it's not meant to replace professional mental health advice or therapy. If you do believe that you suffer from a particular disorder, please do reach out to professional help. With that in mind, some of the topics that we cover are not appropriate for the younger population, hence your discretion is advised. Thank you for being with us today. The topic of today is one that's unfortunately have been part of many individuals' lives. We are going to talk today about coping with the process of divorce. When individuals go through the sense that their relationship is not going to materialize to what they hoped it would be, for all sorts of reasons, ones contemplate the decision as to whether they should be going through a divorce. In some situations, individuals go through divorce because they don't see another way out, and they should perhaps think about other ways of resolving their problems before considering divorce. And other times, individuals really should be getting a divorce, should be taking the concept of getting out of a relationship that could be tremendously harmful, very unsuccessful, all sorts of reasons. And then they fail to do so, and that could be for all sorts of reasons. I am excited to have an interview with us today with Dr. Gitu Bhatia. Dr. Bhatia and I are on the board of Los Angeles County Psychological Association. Dr. Bhatia has been the president of the association. She is very experienced in the area of personal relationships and interpersonal relationships in the treatment of psychological issues that relate to that. And so that's going to be our pleasure to have her on the show. And also, Dr. Bhatia is now involved in an endeavor in terms of an application, a new application that has to do with coping with divorce and how to take the right steps for it, how to approach the issue, what kind of psychological services are available out there, and also the educational component of going through a divorce. So there are many kinds of questions and topics that we should be covering today. As we live in a society that many individuals come from all kinds of cultures, cultural conflict or tensions can also be an issue in marital relationships. And finally, issues of finances, health, location and relocation, raising of children, children who have problems perhaps, and all sorts of types of challenges that marriages go through. Part of, I think, the difficulty for many individuals with the concept of divorce is the sense of failure, the sense that they were hopeful going into that type of relationship that things will work out and that they have just enough the skills and the sense of togetherness with that person to make it happen for the long run. Obviously, when individuals get married, they're very optimistic that things will work out. And when there is this sudden realization or that creeping realization over time that the relationship might not work, that's a very difficult thing. And I believe that we have Dr. Bhatia with us on air. Dr. Bhatia, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Gaines. This is Dr. Gitu Bhatia.
Hello, Dr. Bhatia. We're happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
I went ahead and introduced just a little bit about you and about what you do and your background and the topic of today, the topic of divorce. With that in mind, we're going to kind of together go through some of the questions and issues that come about for this area. But this has been a mission for you professionally, along with others, and that has to do also with a newer application that we will discuss a little bit later today. But if we can start at the beginning, what incepted for you the interest in going more deeply into the topic or the process, the human process of divorce?
actually, very early in my career, I was placed at the Family Court Services to train as a family mediator. And I had very little experience with this culture and the divorce, and it was really a great experience learning about what people go through when they're separating and experiencing huge loss of attachment, and how their kids are experiencing the divorce and what families go through. And from the very beginning of my career, I felt very connected with this population, and I felt that when people are going through the worst period of their lives, I could be helpful in providing guidance on how to heal and move forward with their lives and help their children through the process. So now it's been over 30 years that I've been working with these families.
And you mentioned the process and how it touches on many individuals. It's interesting, but over and over, publications come from Harvard, Yale University, and other locations, and longitudinal studies that have to do with happiness. And over again, the predominant factor that shows up is the concept of having happy and satisfying and successful relationships. And so the topic of divorce seems to be, despite perhaps the sense and feeling in our society that the individual is at large the most important thing, we still see that connection and relationships are really essentially what makes it or break it for individuals' happiness. I would like you perhaps to expand on that area where the impact that sometimes individuals don't realize that divorce has on so many lives.
Yeah, I think most people, when they go into a relationship, don't think that it's going to end or things are not going to end up in a happy place. But the reality is that 50% approximately of all marriages in the United States, and now a large percentage of marriages around the world, are perhaps unhappy and not in a place where they wanted it to be, and people move to deciding what will lead to their happiness. And sometimes, and I'm not supportive of the process in itself, but sometimes a divorce does lead to a happier, reconfigured family. And the unhappiness in the marriage is toxic and destructive to people. And I do believe that some marriages end without having a possibility of resolving their issues. And sometimes divorce can be an easier option than dealing with the difficult issues in the marriage. But there is the possibility of making divorce work for individuals and their children. And that's where I feel that we can be helpful, and that's what the purpose of the app was and so forth. It is a trend and a reality for the last 3-4 decades at least that a lot of marriages are not working out.
Now, there could be all sorts of reasons. So, you know, when we look at research, it could be due to financial issues. It can be cultural issues. It can be not meeting of the minds in long-term life goals. From your experience, what did you find to be, or with the population that you're treating in Los Angeles, what did you find to be some of the most common reasons why individuals would find themselves agreeing to divorce?
Well, I don't think that there is one pattern or one reason. I think you're right in that there are many factors that come into play. And cultural differences, financial differences, expectations of life being different in a long-term marriage. There's a clear indication that having children can be stressful on marriages, and the marital satisfaction decreases in the first year after a child is born. So how people share responsibilities and what results from that can sometimes lead to marital discontent and so forth. So I think there are a number of reasons people may divorce, but the increase in divorce in certain age groups and categories is often now attributed to, especially in other cultures where divorce was not acceptable and stigmatized and the rates were very low, it's clear that women who are able to financially support themselves are taking that step to end a marriage that's dissatisfying. So financial independence and higher educational levels are often helpful in women making that decision. And one section of the population that we've seen an increase in divorce rates is over age 50. It's called the gray divorce more recently, and it's when children, you know, graduate from high school and leave the home, and parents are left in the empty nest stage. They may choose to then end the marriage that has for many years been dissatisfying, and they've kept it going for the sake of the children. So, you know, there are many demographic ways of understanding what's happened with divorce.
Some of the fascinating cultural phenomena that perhaps may or may not have something to do with the rates of divorce, I think also are the changes in the status of women, both in the professional world and also within the home. So where perhaps in the past, where women felt obligated to stay in a marital relationship simply because they didn't have another financial outlet, they didn't have a profession, they didn't have skills, and they were financially, and they didn't have maybe financial knowledge either. And there's still obviously some women who are in this category. Today we find that less and less of a problem. More women than ever receive education. In fact, more girls graduate from high school than boys, and go into the workforce and hold jobs for a longer period of time, where perhaps would give them more of a choice, a different type of choice as to whether to stay in a marriage or not. Is this something that perhaps you've seen, or perhaps other reasons that are similar to this cultural trend and historical trend, perhaps?
I think that financial independence is certainly identified as one of the facilitators of a process that might have been not possible before for women. So that certainly is a factor. And I think that this is a trend that is widely seen these days in different parts of the world, where the possibility of divorce and the laws of who could initiate divorce, were not supportive of women's rights and so forth. So I think a lot of things have changed to make it possible. And once again, I'm, personally very supportive of marriage and families having two parents and a mutually supportive relationship and harmony in a marriage. But the reality is that that's not always possible. And once people are going through the process, there are ways of maintaining harmony and responsibility towards children and modeling for children how to constructively deal with conflict and cope with difficult situations and so forth. So often when people come through therapy during this time, they learn skills that they may not have had before, communication skills and conflict resolution skills that they may not have had before.
It's almost...
So it can be an opportunity to grow for many people.
I think that it's very interesting that divorce, we often look at the rates of divorce society-wise as something that's very negative. There's definitely a lot of news and news media outlets that discuss the concept of divorce as, you know, the doom and gloom of our society. And I actually found it refreshing that your website, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, talks about making divorce work. It's right, it's called Divorce Works. And looking at divorce, at some cases of divorce, as an opportunity for a better life rather than something that represents failure. In a sense, it is a failure of an idea or a plan or a concept. It's sort of like the, you know, bankruptcy of a company that didn't go well. But at the same time, you know, if I equate it to the business world, you know, letting go of an endeavor that wasn't profitable opens the door to invest your effort and time and potential in an area, in a new area that might actually be profitable. And so, you know, in a sense, when I look at what the work that you're doing in terms of making things work, I see that as actually a refreshing perspective. It's also, I think, very important because so many individuals do know that the only way out for them is a divorce. And if you don't give them tools and alternatives and future, in a sense, or a sense of future, it could be quite devastating and spiral them down rather than helping them find ways to lift themselves up and move forward properly, and also make sure, as you were touching on, that the children move forward in a healthy and a productive way and gain out of it better communication skills and interpersonal skills. Would you please share with us about your project, about Divorce Works, and what is that?
Sure. Before we do that, I was going to just sort of explain for the audience that as psychologists, we work at many stages in different ways with people contemplating divorce, maybe going through couples therapy, you know, making a decision whether they want to stay in the marriage or not. We can be helpful in guiding them through their individual struggles if they are, you know, grieving the loss of a relationship. We can be helpful to provide a way of co-parenting for the parents if they have children, and how to continue to be supportive and involved in their children's lives and reduce the conflict. So as psychologists, we can enter into and be helpful at many different stages of divorce. And the reason we, and I'm talking about my colleague, Dr. Linda Bortel, and I, thought of coming up with an app for people to manage their emotional journey through this process was we were at a conference, and we were recognizing that there are a lot of people who are going through divorce and representing themselves in the process because they don't have the finances to go through the court process and receive services and spend money on different professionals. And we felt that an app, which is a really inexpensive tool, could provide a lot of information and a lot of different strategies and tools, and that it could reach people beyond what we do in our offices. So, and at the same time, coincidentally, and actually the reason we thought of an app was Sesame Street had developed an app for children to understand what divorce meant and understand their little feelings and big feelings and changes that they're going through their lives. So we thought, well, there's nothing for adults to be able to make sense of this very crazy process. So that's how the idea came about. And we also felt that there are different parts of the world where people don't have access to the kind of services they may have access to in an urban area like Los Angeles or in the United States in general. So we made sure that we included information about how different cultures and different religions might view going through this process and just provide some private support, because nowadays we're using our smartphones and tablets universally and globally, and for a lot of different things, we almost don't need to have a lot of tools that we used to walk around with, carrying our backs and bags and in our backpacks and so forth. A phone really provides a lot of information. So we included a knowledge section in the app, so that people could read about different aspects of the divorce, the different stages of divorce, and understand about parenting issues. And we have a bibliography and a reference list of books that they can buy on their own to learn more about certain other aspects of divorce. And so resources are included. But the coolest part of the app is the journaling part about keeping track of their emotions on a daily basis, because when people are going through a divorce, they're experiencing, you know, many different emotions at the same time. They may be angry, they may be really sad, they may be disgusted with what's going on in the other person's life, and or they could have happy moments and relief from the bad experiences of the marriage. So a way of keeping track of their emotions so that when they're intensely triggered, that may not be a good time for them to make big decisions, to recognize that there are going to be some good days and bad days, or to even learn about the patterns that they may experience during this time, and seek out help when they are intensely triggered.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned the knowledge component of the app. What other features does the app provide?
Besides the knowledge, there is the emotional tracking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a section that provides help for self-care. Because when people are going through a difficult time, the last thing that they think about is taking care of themselves. They may be taking care of their children and managing their finances and doing all of those things. So it provides a weekly input for ways of taking care of themselves and their children. And as they are being reminded of doing these things, when they complete it, the app shows, the heart fills up. And it's a way, a private way of feeling encouraged and guided to be mindful of their own needs through this process while they're, you know, taking care of everybody else around them.
That is so very important. That is so very important, not even just for individuals who go through contentious relationships, but also anyone in our society. Most people do experience a lack of self-care. The emotional tracking, how does that work?
Well, they are given symbols, emoji kind of things, of six different emotions, which all of us experience, which research shows that we all universally experience. And on a scale of 1 to 10, they can rate where they are on each of these emotions. And that the app keeps track of it, and then there's a place to journal the feelings. So if you're intensely angry, what's making you angry? Is it the legal process? Is it the financial difficulties? Or is it the co-parenting issues? Or the is the fear that they may be experiencing about what's to come in dating relationships in the future or things like that? So they have a place to self-monitor their emotions, and it gets calendared so you can look back in the previous months and see if you've made progress or if you've gotten worse in some areas. And it's just a way of keeping tab on what they're experiencing. It's certainly not a substitute for therapy, but it may allow people to have a window into what therapy could look like and how they could benefit from going to therapy if they are intensely triggered a lot and things haven't moved forward, and to utilize. So when people monitor their emotions and journal their feelings, the app also provides comforting and cooling tips that are related to the emotions that they're feeling, so that there may be a prompt saying, seek out social support or seek out therapy. It's not a failure if you were to ask for help. And, you know, when we were talking about self-care, I wanted to add that men and women both may be deficient in taking care of themselves for different reasons. We're socialized differently. Men often feel asking for help, it may feel like a sign of weakness, and that, you know, you're supposed to sort of be stoic and handle it. And this is it's a generalization, but it's probably very universal that men are socialized to not seek help. And women also, on the other hand, are socialized to be self-sacrificing, and anything to do with taking care of ourselves, we're sort of likely to feel that we're being selfish. So these are all kinds of things that we've been mindful of as we put in the instructions and comforting tips and cooling tips, is to prompt people to, you know, recognize kinds of things that we may have grown up believing and that we may not be, we need to stretch to be able to grow and change and move forward with our lives. And the name Divorce Works is really to emphasize, you're right, that you can make it work. It's not where you want it to be, but you don't have to feel like you're broken or something is wrong with you, that you're taking you're solving problems in your life, and you can be constructive going forward.
Yes, and I think it's
I hope that.
Yes, it does, and it does, and I think that it's relevant that you've mentioned the differences between women and men, because although culturally we are pushing forward towards gender equality, which in certain areas is very important, that cannot be confused with natural gender differences. Although those are, as you described, can be really a generalizing statement, there are some natural differences between men and women. Most men communicate a certain way. Most women can communicate in another way. There are some language differences between men and women, and recognizing those should be understood as a way of utilizing those in a way of helping in constructing better communication, and not necessarily looking at it as one is more favorable than another. But those are just two different ways to speak.
Yeah, I think there's this combination of nature and nurture. Yes, we are different genders. Gender differences exist around the world, but we're also socialized differently. So some of it is where we grow up and what we believe and, you know, what is the expectation. And culturally, there are differences in what men and women are expected to do. We grow up knowing that within whichever culture we grow up. And those things change. Some cultures change more rapidly and some cultures change slowly, and there are more traditional role expectations in certain cultures, whereas in the more Western world, there's an egalitarian expectation of what men and women would do, more so than other cultures. So one of the things we have been mindful of in our app, and it has a really cute feature of pop-up quizzes, and one of the quizzes is about cultural differences, because there's a growing number of interracial and intercultural marriages that have happened in the past two or three decades. It's the one group of people that has grown the most is the bicultural, biracial children under 18. Since 2000, we've had that group increase the most because there have been so many more intercultural marriages. So divorce is difficult enough with the differences that exist, but having cultural differences on top of the other differences can be another layer of things to work with. So we have people using it in other parts of the world and feeling supported and understood as a result.
It's interesting because you're mentioning cultural differences. And I think some areas in the United States, we know statistically are more condensed with a variety of cultures, which naturally increases the chance of more bicultural marriages. And some of the intensity that I find clinically experienced, and I would love to hear your experience on that, is when it comes to cultural differences that are not just between the husband and wife, but the trickle down to the grandparents of that generation and to the children's generation, and how the expression of those cultural differences looks different between the kids, the grandparents, and the spouses, and how all of those can contribute to tension in a marriage.
Absolutely. I think sometimes, as you're saying, cultural differences are the cause of the marital discord, and sometimes after the divorce, that becomes an issue of contention. More importantly, it's really, from a clinical point of view, it's very helpful for us to help parents see how their discord is affecting the cultural identity that the child has. Because in an intercultural, interracial marriage, the child is different from either of their parents in their cultural identity, so they have to form their own, and often parents are invested in the child being more like them rather than the other person. So we are able to help parents understand that that's tearing the child apart, because the child's self-esteem is often very closely related to who their parents are. And if one part of them is not being validated or understood, they are not feeling complete and whole. And so when we're able to help parents and grandparents understand the child's needs of forming their own identity separate from each of their parents, it's often very helpful. Because most times parents want the best for their children. They just are so stuck in not liking the other parent or the grandparents and so forth that they forget sometimes that they may be hurting the child inadvertently. So that's a completely different subject. And another area of passion that I have is is cross-cultural psychology and, you know, helping support the identity development of the child in this world where there is a lot of diversity and you know, a lot of issues to deal with.
And I've mentioned right before you came onto the show some of the leadership roles that you've served in recently. And I do share with our listeners that passion really in terms of cultural and multicultural issues, you know, has been a passion of yours. And it is a very, very important topic. So many of us are no longer necessarily one color, but we are a combination of many colors, and we are a combination of our parents' past and our beginning and our current and the future that our children will bring. And it includes just so many, both historical and experiential and geographical changes. And so essentially we are less and less described by one simple term. And I think that there's a lot of beauty there, but it also forces us, when it comes to relationships, it forces us to be more tolerant. It forces us to be more contemplative. You know, it forces us to make better determinations about issues in relationships. And so, you know, with that in mind, we only have about 6 minutes into the show and into this topic. I wanted to quickly touch on a couple of more topics. The first one is, how do people connect to your app and where do they find it? And if they want more information, where do they go?
Divorce Works app is on the Apple Store, so they can just type in Divorce Works and it's available to be purchased for a very small fee of $4.99, a one-time fee, you know, less than a coffee and wealth of information. So that's one way they can access it. And we have a website that describes it. It's called divorceworksmedia.com.
Wonderful. And if people want to reach out to you, where do they go?
I have a website, GeetuBhatia.com, my first and last name, and that's simple. I'll spell it. It's GeetuBhatia.com. And I have my contact information on there.
Wonderful. And we are posting it visually now for our viewers, both your webpage and the address for the app. And you know, with that in mind, if individuals have questions, they can always email me as well or connect through the show's sites, and I'll be glad to send it to Dr. Bhatia. Dr. Bhatia, again, thank you very much for being on the show with us today and expanding both knowledge to the public in this very important area, and for taking the time to create just yet another resource that is professional, that provides information that is carefully designed for this particular population, so individuals can really feel more comfortable to find a place that they can be more secure. We always talk about in this show that there are so many kinds of resources online, and yet often clinically clients or patients express confusion about all sorts of conditions, whether those are medical or psychological, due to the fact that information is not always disseminated in the way that is protective of the public and always very useful. And so as the premise of this show and the kind of work that you do, again, I would like to thank you very much for being on our show today and taking the time to do so and for the betterment of the population. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dee. My pleasure.
All the best. Thank you, listeners, for being with us today. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us today and joining on this topic. Very, very cool app, Divorce Works. Just another way and a better approach to looking into when a relationship doesn't work out and you need to take a different path and you need to make things work for you and for your family. With that in mind, we're going to have some really cool topics coming up. Interesting questions about all sorts of herbs out there that's supposed to be better for your brain and improve memory and cognitive functioning. What do we know about it? That will come on the show as well. We'll have another cool interview that has to do actually with brain activity and visual processing, how your eyes work, well, how does that relate to certain medical conditions and neurological conditions. So that's coming up as well. Tune in with us. Also, I would like to share with you that our show will begin to receive certain sponsorships and advertisements. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, supporting the show and the good education that we're doing for the public, please do reach out to me. We have a new website, drdgaines.com, HTTP. The Dr. D Show has its own page on that as well, http://drdgaines.com. We will be posting it on the page as well, in general on UBN Radio. With that in mind, I wish you all the best and lots of health and only well-being, and be well until next week.